magic word, and
but that's
here we are
MLID.
On the first was, first official long day for Fector's Finger Flicking Frolic, 42nd, and I'm sitting here with Mark D'Souza. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, thank you. Also, Raj Maddox is here.
Good morning.
Yes, you can say hello, too. Glad to have you here. And Marv Leventhal, our resident Mac guy. Say howdy.
Howdy.
There you go. See, he's kind of like a ventriloquist. I just put my hand on his back, and he says what I tell him to say. So, anyhow, what number is this for you? How many times have you been here, Mark?
I think this is my 12th.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a relative neophyte.
That's right. You're a youngster. Yeah, I think mine's pushing 30 here. So, been a while. What are you looking forward to for this convention?
Everything. I mean, this is, it started out where, you just come just to, I want to see this lecture, I want to see that lecture, I want to see that show, I can't miss that, But now it's more about getting together informally with the guys and just sessioning and,
right.
Staying up till all hours and eating donuts.
Right. That's right. What time did you go to bed this morning?
Oh, tonight, that was the same night we went to bed. It was about 2 by the time we get to bed, so that's an early night.
Yep, same here. I think it was close to 1, I think. But, so it was, well, it's first night, so this way that, we'll see Dawn the next few days, I'm sure.
No, Dawn was over there before, but, Dawn, usually, Friday and Saturday, Thursday, Friday night, Those are later nights. Saturday night already, you're exhausted. So
yeah, but you're going to be getting up to catch a plane. So
exactly.
Why get any sleep?
We got to drive home. So
that's right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Is this one of the conventions that you would not miss? That's on
absolutely, your... absolutely. My wife knows that this is the holy convention. This is the deal we have is I'm allowed 2 conventions a year, except for the ones we attend as a family. Mm-hmm. And then...
Like MAS?
Well, MAS, yeah. MAS is really... Well, MAS is more my son and I.
Yeah.
But we usually try to do a national. But this year, I'm doing national myself at Las Vegas. Because my wife says... Yeah, she says, kids aren't going to Vegas.
Yes. Not really the family town,
not,
I guess.
Not what they were trying to do.
Yes, yeah. Right. Now, David Stone is going to be our guest of honor over here, and you've known David for a long number of years.
Long time. David has stayed with me for a number of times, and in fact, David will be working MAS this year.
Okay, so he's coming back.
Yeah, he's coming. Well, he's coming back twice. He's coming back. He's working the SAM in Vegas because this year the close-up show is the all-French show.
Mm-hmm.
So we have
Boris
three
Wilde,
of the performers here. We have Matthew Biche, Boris Wilde, David Stone, and the other one is Jan Frisch.
Oh, Frisch,
Frisch, who was here last year.
He's awesome. Yeah.
And the show's being emceed by Ali Shelley, who is the American-French connection, because she works for one of the airlines as a translator.
And a flight attendant.
Exactly,
so she
flight attendant and a translator.
I understand she's doing a show in New York on something.
She did. That was last Saturday. In fact, Matthew Biche was with me Friday at the house, another old friend. And then I had to take him the train to go to New York, and he and Ali and Peter McClanigan from Scotland did a show.
Had dinner with him last night,
Had a show from Scotland. I had Peter at my house last year, so this year we had him at the Magic Shop in Philly.
And he was lecturing?
His lecture.
Just like he was saying, he was over early and kind of on a little mini lecture tour, I guess.
Exactly, yeah, so he did a few lectures. One was in Philly, which unfortunately I could not get to.
Do you arrange for lectures in other places? I know you have them at your house, of course.
Yeah, in conjunction with coming in to lecture at our place, we definitely line up Denny down in Baltimore, Denny and Lee, and we try to line up one in New York, and there's 3 or 4 different places in New York we line them up, and sometimes we do modals where we'll do one out on the island, one in New York City. I don't do it as a business. I basically do it as friends, just help them out. Sometimes I'll make the calls, sometimes they'll make the calls, but now there's a few other people that have expressed interest in getting into the loop, as it were.
Right.
So we're trying to do 3 or 4 lectures for a guy to make it worthwhile coming in.
Particularly those who are coming in from overseas.
Exactly. Well, that generally happens around Fectors.
Exactly.
Though I try to encourage guys to come at other times of years, because around Fectors you generally have 4 or 5 guys
to choose from.
And you can only have so many.
Right.
Last week we had Matthew. We had Peter in Philly. I was there.
Yeah.
We've got Woody Aragon on Friday.
From Madrid.
Exactly. Thursday, the night before. And Woody's going to be at the Grasso's Magic Theater, another good spot for lectures. But the night before, Jeff Williams is at my house. And then the week after, I've got Mark Strivings, who isn't even here at Fectors.
Isn't he out of Colorado?
Out of Colorado, yeah. And then Eric Jones 5 days later. So we've got a really busy April-May schedule.
Now, how do you get enough people to come to all these lectures? Because that seems to be an issue I've heard from other cities. It's like we can only have one a month or one a quarter, yeah. And you guys have like five in a week, it sounds like.
Well, we try to stay away from that. I won't run more than two in a week. That's crazy. I try to keep it to one a week. On average, we do two lectures a month, on average over the year. But clustered around vectors, it's always a little heavier.
Mm-hmm. Now, I can text you either at your email.
In our theater, we have officially seating for 32. There's a 33rd seat, which is the Adele Friel seat. She doesn't want to sit in a cushy seat. She wants a straight back chair. So when Adele's in the house, that's her seat. Otherwise, that's the 33rd seat. And, of course, my seat in the back doing all the tech work. But there have been times when I had to squeeze a couple of extra chairs in, and we'll have, you know, maybe 35, 36 guys.
Well, so you always fill it up.
Not always. I would say we have, on average, anywhere from 25 to 30 people on average.
What do you do, or how is it that you get, you know, such good attendance?
You know, it's just I established this a number of years ago. And it's more than just the lecture spot. I mean,
you have brownies or what?
Well, we have chips and pretzels. There is someone, when she attends, she does make brownies. There's another guy who brings boxes of Philadelphia soft pretzels.
Okay.
We got sodas out. But the theater is, the whole lower level is all magic.
Right,
so my library is there. My collection is there. And the guys just, you know, the library is there for them to use. This is the research library for everybody to use. So the guys come there and do that. And they just session, and it's just a kind of different atmosphere than you find at, like, a magic club or something. We don't have any, you know, there's no meeting. There's no politics. There's no time limit, really. We get started at quarter. We open doors at 7. Lecture starts at 7:45. We usually go an hour and a half, take a break, and then come back and do another hour, get better. So most of the time, the lecture's over by about 10:30, but the guys hang out till 11:30, and then sometimes go out afterwards with the lecturer. Some lectures will go even longer. I've had lectures that go to 11:30. You know, if there's sufficient guys hanging out.
I was going to say, most guys have to go home because they have to work the next day, or they got to catch the subway home or whatever.
Well, we don't have subways near where I live. You got to drive. Or get shuttled by somebody. But for the lecturers, I mean, the hotel that I put them at is 7 minutes away from the house, so it's very easy. Usually one of the guys takes it back to the hotel afterwards. I pick them up, and we go to dinner. But the lecturer doesn't have anywhere to go that night.
Yeah, I guess,
so you might as well hang out and, you know, just session with the guys for the most part.
Yeah,
but, I mean, I get guys to leave at the halfway point because they're up at, you know, 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning, whatever, and they just can't stay late. So by the time the halftime comes, it's time for them to go. So I always tell the lecturers, make sure you do your big pitch before you go into the intermission. Guys that won't be here at the end, so you want to sell whatever you can.
I want to go in a completely different direction. I want to ask you about Steranko, who is a friend of yours. Tell me something about this recluse.
Yeah, he is. He's a recluse.
And for those listeners who don't know who Steranko is.
Jim Steranko is we know him as a magician, but he is known to the real world as one of the most innovative guys in the field of comic books. He really almost created the graphic novel genre. And Jim was an illustrator for Marvel for many, many years. Very distinctive style. And coincidentally enough, also did magic. Also plays music. He was a guitar player and sax player for a while in a band back in, I guess, the early 60s. But back in the early 60s, there's one of the great issues of Genius, Steranko's World of Escapes, very innovative look at the world of Escapes.
And drawn by him, too.
And all illustrated by Jim. Jim's an amazing illustrator. Absolutely amazing artist. And then...
he lives in the Philadelphia area?
He lives in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Which is about 45 minutes from my house. So, and card magic. You know, the Steranko on cards is still... a classic text, and so many people still were so influenced by the work that he published. And there was a whole controversy about a second book that he had written that had been appropriated by another famous name, and I don't want to get into that, but that really caused him to drop out of magic. He was so bitter about that.
Yeah.
So I had met him at a Star Trek convention back in the, I guess, early 80s. Yeah, yeah. It's yeah. Well, no, I was there with a friend who was a nerd. We actually used to perform at Star Trek conventions. That was fun.
Wow.
I got to work with almost every one of the stars in the show, working with them doing magic on stage. It was Anyway, I digress. So I met Steranko and talked to him a little bit, and he didn't seem to want to talk a lot about magic.
Yeah.
And then I get a call from him probably about 15 years ago. We were doing a convention, and we had Juan Tamariz coming in, and he wanted to see Tamariz. I said, Jim, you'll come as my guest. I would love to have you there. And so he started, he would come out to the house once in a while for lectures, and, you know, certain people, you know, that saw him, they went, it looks like Jim Steranko. I said, that's because it is Jim Steranko.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you got to be kidding. Nobody's seen Jim Steranko in, you know, since the early 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
So, unless you go to comic book cons. So he would show up his stuff, and guys would ask him to do stuff. And Jim would occasionally show something, but he doesn't really perform. See, but he does keep up with magic. He really got back into at least, you know, becoming, you know, a bystander and reading the new stuff and all that. And we had actually set up a sort of dual lecture when we had Leonard Green in for the convention.
Yeah.
And Jim and Leonard were supposed to do a discussion. Unfortunately, Jim got booked for a real comic book convention. He paid lots of money and couldn't do it. But the night before the convention, he called me up. He says, when's Leonard coming in? It's Friday. Okay, why don't we just get together at your house? Because I got to leave Saturday morning. I said, that sounds fine.
So
I called, checked with Leonard. Leonard was fine. So we had maybe, you know, 15 guys that were the performers at the convention. We had Terry Guyot, who was over from London, who was performing at the convention. And the guys producing the convention. This small group, very social. Everybody leaves, and Leonard was staying with me, and Terry was staying with me. So Leonard says to Jim, do you still play guitar? He says, yeah. He says, let's go downstairs. And in my lower level, the old house, is where I had all the guitars. So we went downstairs, and Leonard Green also plays guitar. And his style of guitar is every bit as idiosyncratic as his magic. He plays in a very Django Reinhardt style, almost like a gypsy style. So Jim and Leonard played guitar. Terry is an excellent pianist. I had a portable keyboard. He was playing keyboards, and so I just picked up bass. And we just started jamming for an hour. And I regret to this day, one of my great regrets
never
is that
recorded.
I didn't record that session.
That would have been,
that would have been the lost Steranko session. But I haven't. Jim hasn't been to a lecture for several years. He's just so busy with his other projects.
Yeah.
And you know, I talk to him once or twice a year and get a holiday card from him always. And it's always nice to hear from him.
Great. Well, it's good hearing from you then also, because I got to get ready here for the 11 o'clock lecture.
Absolutely. Let's go. And I've been recording this simultaneously on my iPhone because you do a great podcast called The Magic Word, and I would not miss an episode. But a couple of buddies of mine, Eric Johnson and Susmith TVA, have started a podcast called Magic on the Side, where they drink crafted beers and discuss the beers and then talk about magic on the side.
Magic on the side.
Yeah, and it's great stuff. And so I told them I would just do some recordings up here.
What is their website? How do we reach them?
It's magiconthesite.com.
.com, okay.
And you can access it there, and you can also access it via iTunes.
It says connect.
Very different podcast than yours.
Yeah. Well, smoke cigars and drink beer.
And there you go. And occasionally the language gets a little salty on their website, but on their podcast. But being that you have the magic word, you've never said what your magic word is, and I want you to tell me what your magic word is.
I was about to ask you yours, darn. Wow, I put people on the spot, now you've got me here. I would have to say brotherhood. Brotherhood is a magic word for me, because that, you know, people like you and everybody you know here at this convention and all the others, you know, that I attend, it truly is a brotherhood, and brotherhood encompasses so much, you know, of love and sharing. Hey, Hannibal.
No, okay. No, Chris. We got Chris Hannibal hovering over us. When he hovers, it eclipses much of the space.
It eclipses in his own way, too. That's why. Chris Hannibal, say hello. It's a magic word, by the way.
Hi, good to see you.
And magic on the side.
And magic on the side, that's right. Doing dueling podcasts over here.
I saw the microphone, and I was magnetically attracted.
There we go.
That's the problem, yeah.
Well, when Chris goes downstairs for a midnight snack, the refrigerator opens, light goes on, he does 20 minutes.
I love you, man. I've always loved you.
So Brotherhood's my my word.
That's a good one.
What about yours?
Well, you know, you'd interview me at MAS,
yes.
And I told you a magic word that was almost a jokey thing that Herr Kopper told me. But my real magic word, I would say, is focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important in magic is to focus on what you're doing, and I get sidetracked, and unfortunately, I always tell people that magicians are the worst at focusing on things. We get sidetracked so easily. We're reading, we're practicing a trick, and then you read something else, and, oh, I always wanted to try that.
Oh, golly.
And that leads you to something.
Isn't that the darnest truth? Yeah. You go in your room, and you open a drawer, and you just kind of get, yeah.
You get lost in the miasma of apparatus and toys. So I think, you know, if we take more time and just focus on a particular task, and accomplish what we can there, I think we'll be able to accomplish much more with our magic and further our studies and increase our...
Do you see this as a craft or an art?
That's a really good question, and I think there's elements of both. I think I aspire to art, but I think mostly I attain craft. And I think it's the same with most magicians. I think that when you talk about art, it's a means of expressing something you wish to communicate to your audience and hopefully touch them emotionally in some way.
Right.
And I hope that I do that, you know, with at least 50% of the material that I do in my performances.
It is artistic.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Chris, what is your magic word?
Magic. You have to. I've walked up late. So, what's the context of this?
It could be in your life, in your performance. It could be just something that you live by, a credo.
Oh, dream.
Dream.
Right. Don't take things as they are. Imagine them better. Imagine them as a part of yourself and extend to that. And embrace your dream.
And be creative. Kind of. Yeah, that's
exactly
great.
Right.
Love it.
Very cool.
Everybody's got such great ideas and dreams and everything. So, hey, Raj, let me ask you, what is your magic word?
My magic word.
Your magic word. What is that you would live by, your credo, your...
Play fair.
Those are two good words. That's good.
Play fair. He plays well with others.
That's right. Play fair is one word for me.
Yeah. Marv.
Marvel. Leventhal over here.
Marvel, yeah. You've already introduced you, so go ahead, yes. Marv. Just give me one.
A magic word?
Yeah.
Mine are all the boring, usual magic words that nobody cares about.
But it's unique to you, something that live by.
I wish I did. I lead a very shallow life.
So, yes. Yeah, Chris got to go nowhere to dream. So yours is wish, I guess. Huh?
Wish, yeah, there you go, wish.
I wish you had just a word. Turn that damn thing
that's
off.
Right. I wish I had a dream.
And Ray Cosby just walked up. He's having his morning his morning coffee.
Yeah, okay, right. What about your magic word?
Hannibal. Well, it's not decaf. I guess I would say trust.
Trust.
Yeah.
Like that? Okay. All very good words all around here. All right, well, it is getting close to 11 o'clock. We got to go have a seat before that Obi blows his darn whistle. So, that's enough. Thank you guys very much. And for now, this is Scotty out.
And Mark out.
Scott Wells for the Magic Word over here, and I'm in the registration area with Glenn Brown. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. And I want to talk with you today not just about registration, but although we're here right now, but more particularly about the wonderful PDF you put together and the program, the electronic program. I don't recall, has there been any other convention that's used an electronic program that you know of? Or
not that I know of.
You created this pretty much from scratch and from your creative brain.
Well, we were already doing most of it. We're doing show lists for Obi, and the thought was, let's just make them available.
Yeah.
My goal when I started working with Obi and Joan was to try and bring 4F into the 20th century. So, you know, we have more and more
21st
people.
Century, maybe.
Well, no, I want to get to 20th.
20th,
first.
Okay, yeah.
20th,
don't have too
we'll
high
get to
aspirations.
The 21st, yes. Next. So Obi gave permission, and we started putting it together, and it's been really popular. It's been more additions to it than you can possibly imagine.
So it was originally just going to be a schedule of who's performing when, and then it grew from there.
It grew from there.
It really, how many pages is it? It's like 20-something?
22 pages.
Yeah. And lists different people who are attending this year and how many years that others have been here and all that kind of thing. And
what countries they're from, how many times they've attended, everyone who's here this year. Everyone who's passed away since the convention started,
You know. Past names of past guests of honor?
Yes.
Yep, and all that kind of thing?
They're all there.
Are you thinking in the future of expanding on this, making it more of an e-book that would include some articles or anything about this? Or?
The thought is to expand it. Some of it is to simplify it because it was a lot of work, but some of it is to expand it. Like, we'd like to take some photos, and with the final version that goes up after the week, we'll have, you know, maybe some new photos.
Oh, no, that's a good idea.
And certainly links to articles, like the article that will be in the linking ring will be linked if that's posted. Mike's site with all the photos up there. If Dale puts any of
this podcast
exactly. Yeah. All of that can be made available just through links in the document.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is it something that you think would be? I know it's not easy, but is it something that other conventions could do, or do they need to come to an expert who knows how to create these?
I don't think it's that difficult to do. I mean, it was created in a couple of Adobe products, InDesign and in Adobe Acrobat.
Okay.
But it could be done as simply as doing it in Microsoft Word with Adobe Acrobat. You need something like Acrobat in order to publish it and make it available universally, because you don't want to just send it out as a Word document.
That's right, because not everybody can open that. Plus, this has the ability, of course, of going to your phone, whether it's an iPhone or a Droid or your iPad or
computer. This is built to go into everything. So you want to build it, and PDF offers the flexibility of working on Android or iPad or your phone or your laptop, Windows or Mac. I mean, that's what we were shooting for, was the flexibility that anyone could use it anywhere.
And one of the advantages of this, of course, is that not only can you scroll back and forth and it has the hot links to within the schedule itself, but outside links.
Every performer who has a website in this is linked.
Right.
So, you know, if you tap on your name, for example, it'll take you to your website.
Right. Right. So, well, it sounds like a lot of work that was involved with all that.
It was a bit of work. I'm retired.
Trying to make sure those. Yeah. So you have some time now.
I have
is
a bit
that
of
right?
time. Yes.
And so, getting back over then to registration, about how many people we got here this year?
About 230.
Okay. And that's typically about, what, around 200 that we have from year to year?
The last couple of years, it's grown a little bit. It's been, last year, it was about 230 as well.
And I know also...
We're at capacity.
Exactly, it's capacity. And that's the thing. I know way back when we were at the Forks, of course, it was limited, limitation only because of the size, basically, of the room.
It was 50 the first time I went. And, well, you and I were there together, and it was maybe 50 people.
Very small.
And, you know... Lectures couldn't go past 4 hours because our rear ends couldn't stand.
That's right, on those hard benches. That's for sure. Had to open the windows, let in cool air because it was so hot then too. Another thing is that since we had moved over here to Batavia and the Clarion Hotel owns this now, there was more room, and so they were able to expand the invitation list to let in more people then.
Yeah, precisely.
I didn't ask Obi this yesterday when I was talking about this, but you can expand upon this about how do you get an invitation, because people, you know, wonder about that.
Well, it is by invitation only. If anyone is interested in 4F, they need to find someone to sponsor them. They need two sponsors from the 4F, and they need to put together a DVD of their performance, of a performance that can be sent to Obi. So the first step is to make sure that you have, you know, that you're performing up to level.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you know, FISM and other contest winners are invited by Joan or Obi, but most people are sponsored by just people like you and I, you know, who have a friend who's worked hard at it. They need to submit a DVD of their performance, and they need to have two sponsors.
Right.
People are willing to stand up and say, yes, this person is, you know, is capable of performing at this level. And they have to be willing to perform. If they don't perform at 4F, they're never going to come.
They're not going to get invited back.
Exactly.
Right. Well, I tell you what, then as we start to close out, I just want to ask of you the question I always like to wrap up. And since the podcast is entitled The Magic Word, what is your magic word? It's not necessarily something you may or may not necessarily use, you know, for your show, but it could be a credo, something you live by.
Bazinga.
Bazinga. I like that, bazinga.
Bazinga.
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory, yes, exactly.
I like it. Thank you all very much. I appreciate your time. This is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the Magic Word, and we have finished dinner and over at Alex's, and then come back over here. We got a little bit of time before the stage show. Actually, no, I think that David Stone's going to be lecturing at 8 o'clock, but I'm here with Francis Venati. Hey, Francis, how are you?
All right, Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. And so is this your first Feckers?
It is. I'm pretty excited.
Now, what has taken you so long to get here?
That's a good question.
Close-up? You know, yeah. I don't consider you the close-up guy. I consider you the creative stage guy.
I try to apply the creativity.
And kind of mentalism and
producer,
little
of everything. Just magic in general.
In general?
But, you know, I guess I'd never really... I looked at myself as the finger flicker kind of person,
yeah.
And I, you know, enough of different friends that had come here for years and said, you know, you should really talk to some people, ask for, see if we can get someone to sponsor. And my buddy Chris Capehart was the main sponsor, Jeff Williams the other, and both of them. So far, I mean, looking around, everyone I see is intimidatingly good people, but there are a lot of. I think we'll have some fun.
I recall one year that there was some guy who had come in. It was his first year, and he was just sitting down, and you could tell he was kind of obviously nervous. And he didn't say anything, but he just kind of looked at the audience, kind of scanned back and forth, and he said, I've got your videos, I've got your DVDs, I've got your books, I've got your lecture notes, I saw your show, I've got your DVDs. What am I doing here?
I think that's how everyone feels the first time they come. That's what I've been told. At least that's what I'm telling myself.
Well, everybody puts their underwear on the same way, or do they?
I don't know. I've got notes on that for you later.
Okay,
I don't really know what that means.
So you have been wanting to come for a while, but you just haven't had the opportunity, the chance. You've been working.
Been working full time, doing some both in and outside of magic consulting stuff on some creativity things.
I know you do a lot of consulting. Tell me exactly what you do, in case there's some people who are listening who need your consulting business.
Well, most recently I've been working with Paper Crane Video, company, doing essentially when people come in and want to pitch something to them.
Mm-hmm.
I help tweak things or come up with some presentational ideas or something, just to kind of make it work better for what they're trying to sell.
Okay.
Another thing I've done recently, we just had not talking about it too much at this point, but there's a new film coming out next year with Jeremy Renner playing a magician. It's a film that's as of yet untitled, directed by James Gray.
It's not going to be one of these where it's like a creepy magician or a bad guy. Okay.
No, it just happens that his character happens to be a magician, so I was asked to come in and help create a little bit of magic for it, do a little sleight of hand, you know, teach Jeremy Renner to do a little sleight of hand, and it was a lot of fun. I don't know how much magic they're going to show actually in it. It was more for his character development,
right?
But it was a lot. It was great. It's going to be a fun movie. Anytime there's magic in film, it's always good for all of us.
So you're going to be teaching him some close up, or
I just did. We did that a few weeks ago. Taught him some close up. Taught him actually how to back palm a photo, a playing card size photo, and he asked me to create a little trick with a hat for this one thing he did, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically, it was some under pressure thinking on feet, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was an interesting, a fun opportunity. I was glad to.
Is it the first opportunity that you've had actually to consult on a movie?
On a movie, yes. Mm-hmm. I've done plays and, you know, musicals and things like that before, but this was a first opportunity. I hope more things come of it.
Yeah. And so what other type of consulting work do you do? You know, where magicians could hire you to help them?
It's sort of whatever people ask help with. I mean, I've sort of directed and written for other friends and colleagues. You know, a friend.
Somebody notable you can talk about? Somebody?
Not really. I try not to.
No. I understand, but I just...
I don't like to... Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, if people are interested in trying to work on their script or the presentation or things like that, that's definitely what I
kind
love
of a
doing.
Bob Fitch type of a thing?
Except more, he's very good, he's really good with the acting and you know, making you better in your performance. My focus is more through line, storyline, figuring out, which he does as well, but that's really what I focus on, scripting, really. So.
Gotcha. What are you working on then now? I mean, aside from the consulting, what are you doing? Keeping you busy?
Writing, a lot of writing, actually.
Books, plays, screenplays?
A little proofreading. I just did one of the pretty well-known magician here. I just did some proofreading for a book that's coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still reviewing for Magic Magazine, which is always fun. It's kind of an honor to do that. It's a lot of fun.
I enjoy that. Thank you, Stan, by the way, if you happen to be listening to this. I enjoy doing the conventions as well.
It's always interesting to see what stuff comes my way and what I can, you know, I learn a lot, and I learn what magicians are interested in as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also working on a personal project that's kind of a tour that I've been putting together for a while. It's a little overambitious at the moment, but
like a one-man play kind of a thing.
Sort of one-man play meets motivational speaking, but in sort of a different way. It's based on a personal story of what I did with my wife and me buying a house and fixing it up. So it's kind of telling a story, but through magic. And we're planning on putting that together as a tour, hopefully 2013, 2014. So.
And you'll be going around the states, or are you going to stay on the East Coast?
Across the country, actually. Directly across from east to west or west to east.
Are you going to drop down south through Texas?
We might for that one.
I'm not sure yet,
so I absolutely will.
Okay. Well, Francis, thank you very much.
I
appreciate spending a little bit of time with us. You're going to love this. There's so many things you're going to see and do. And
I'm already excited. Just looking around at the faces here, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. That's Francis Venati. This is Scotty out.
Researching that in the college market.
Okay, Scott Wells here again, and I'm with Christian Catalina, and just chatting for a bit in the hallway. Still, hey guys,
hey,
good
Scott.
Show today.
Thanks.
There again.
It was very
and
fun.
So now this was your second year, which you got your master's in.
We did.
Did they give you like a joint certificate?
No, he's getting
each
around.
Got one.
Joan makes
with
sure.
Your name, and then
yeah.
You get one then too.
Because Joan says, you know what, I might not be good enough. Maybe Kat just gets it.
Well, he is the eye candy of the show.
I am just the eye candy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're the Tom Selleck.
Sometimes I just move along in her wake.
That's right. Just, yeah, she would kind of flow through. So are you enjoying the convention again this year?
It's fun. Actually, we didn't expect to like it, to be honest with you, the first year we were here.
Yeah, you were a little bit what?
Well, I mean, because...
I guess we didn't know what to expect.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we were thinking more this is going to be, you know, a close-up mentality just in cards and coins. Not that we all didn't start there. I mean, that's where I started in the restaurants. But actually, it's much more than that. There's so much magic at different levels. If all you want to do is sit around and do coin and card tricks, you certainly can here.
Yeah.
But there's so many other levels that's going on here. Everything from business to, you know, bigger concepts, shows.
Yeah.
And stool softeners. I mean, I've heard all kinds of conversations here. You know, old guys talking, you know.
You do hear some of that. There's some old guys
That's right.
Here.
And some young guys, yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. You get everything from, if you're over, I was just going to point over to Carl Heinstein. Sitting here with his, you know, he's got that young group. You want to sit there and do some
John Bourne,
But you can also go over here and sit with Howie and...
George Schindler.
George Schindler, and you're going to listen
about
to
the history.
The we've got stories about Himber
Dunninger.
And Dunninger. We sat and listened to that. Mm-hmm. And then you turn right around and you walk over and you're sitting with... other people.
Maybe a group of, European.
I wish I could understand some of what, like a Japanese group or French guys, you know. So I just sit and watch them. They're saying something.
Right.
But the things they're doing are just blowing me away.
But there are lots of different levels that you can find a level to, you know, today I want to do this, and you'll find that group of people, and now you're getting ideas, and everyone's exchanging things, and then, you know,
very free and open here.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing that I have always said. I think that Fectors is a place in which that everyone feels like they're at a same level. You know, you wouldn't be here, you know, be invited unless you're kind of at a level. And so, as a result, people know that they respect each other's things enough not to steal them.
Right.
So you're sharing an idea, but not something that someone's going to clone and, you know, take elsewhere.
You're not here thinking, oh, I'm going to... This guy here probably only knows, you know, what will the cards match trick?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know that people are here because they're good.
Right.
And so you're right. That does create a different level of trading and exchanging.
Different dynamic.
Yeah.
Right.
I said, you know, the other convention like this is Mindvention.
I love Mindvention.
Where you sit and...
It's funny you mentioned that. I was telling somebody, well, and not just mentalism, because I was sitting there talking about Carl Hein a little bit earlier, that we were at the Mindvention a couple of years ago, and Carl Hein was at the table. There were like eight of us having breakfast. And we started talking about presentations for the Hyundai 500 and the Hyundai 500. Six out of eight of us pulled up, you know, our Hyundai 500. He starts, well, here's what I do, well, here's what I do. It's like, wow. You know, and so all these guys are closing. That's not a mentalism trick.
No,
you know?
Not at all.
But everybody did it. You know?
But, yeah, no, I was just thinking that, although you're not going to see a lot of mentalism here, however, the Mind Vision is like that, is like this convention for mentalism, because you're going to go there. And
that's a good
point.
But
you're right. You're also going to run into, because you look at people, you'll see...
Peter Studebaker, I know, comes
over here. Yeah, when you're sitting there, you bump into...
Jeff McBride.
Jeff McBride. Yeah, that's why I was looking for some of the non-middleist ones.
Yeah, like Jeff McBride.
Kevin Burke will make. He's there every year.
Mm-hmm. Teller comes sometimes, yeah. Chris Kenner.
Chris Kenner. So you still have a contingent of Magic that you're going to hang out and have fun with, and but it's the jamming afterwards. I think that's where you're the hanging out and talking to people. That's the real beauty of it.
Yep. And so you're really enjoying this a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That's very
perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much, Christian Cannon. See you later. Okay.
I'm sure we'll see you very soon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Scotty out.
So we hit the edge of the ship, and it just tilted, and we watched all the cases tumble in the ocean. And you have to imagine the other people who are enjoying the mariachi band, watching the young couple throw their bodies against the glass, going, "No!" And everything is just dropping into the ocean.
They had all your illusions,
everything.
Your costumes.
Everything. Absolutely
now,
everything.
What happened? Again, it kind of hit the...
It hit the edge of the ship, because they're loading onto the top deck to go in from the top down. And it hit the edge, and it just tipped it, and everything just slid right off.
Wow. And everybody just slow motion.
Very few people even saw it. You know, and we like calmed down, and it was like, what do? And Laurie says, we stay calm. Because this is like 3.5 months contract.
Yeah.
And if we go on and say, hey, you've lost all your gear, they're sending us home. Right?
So you made up your own show?
So that's how I got the Bag of Tricks contest. PCM does the Bag of Tricks contest. I had 6 days before my first show. And we got on the ship like there was no problem. Grabbed rope, decks of cards, newspapers, coat hanger wires. That's where I got the 2-cup tubes. First time I ever did the routine professionally, because I'd done it for Robin Williams once. So I had 2 pieces of plumber tubing, 2 Malibu bottles when we hit the Bahamas, because it's like where the Malibu's made.
Topsy-turvy
bottle. We put the whole act together, shaped my heart, and we had a rope tie with the gypsy rope, put together a show. God, freaking that 3-quarter standing ovation from the audience. Chris Jackson said, that's really good.
For an impromptu show.
Can't wait to see what you do on the next show, because people are staying on. So we've had to have multiple shows. And we said, it shouldn't be any problem. I said, to be honest, we had to build this one. Now we're through the Panama. Why'd you have to build? I said, we can't find our cases. We've asked everywhere. So she starts doing all the write-up. She comes back about 3 days later. She says, I have really bad news. We're just about to Los Angeles. And I said, San Francisco, pardon me. I said, what's the news? She says, apparently your cases aren't on board. They went into the ocean. They what? Well, don't worry. The company's going to pay. Just write an itemized list, how much everything is to replace, and we'll replace it. This before internet, you know. So we're sending all these telexes to Mark Berger's House of Magic in San Francisco, and he put it all together, worked it all out, and literally came down with a pickup truck with a zigzag in the back of it, a sub-truck jammed in, and a sword box, everything. And they paid for everything. I got new stuff. Very first time I ever got a Nielsen bottle. I didn't even know what a Nielsen rubber bottle looked like. And I built in a show that literally we went the next 3 months around the world with this stuff, learning tricks. I was reading the instructions going, I bought that. What do we do with that? Yeah. Practice it on the crew at the crew show. Go, that works for the crew. Upstairs and do it for real people.
Yeah.
I only did 15-minute shows for the rest of the cruise, because I opened for people like Cheetah Rivera and Dudley Moore, because it's a world cruise. So I only had to have 15-minute acts. And it was like...
And all different, though.
Every one of them had to be different once a week.
Yeah.
Every week, 15 minutes. It was tough.
Interesting.
But it was good. And that's when I started Bag of Tricks. PCM is a paper bag with a bunch of garbage in it. And you just hand it to a person, and they have to make a trick by the end of the week. And two of them have been commercially done. Two of the magicians, Raphael and Elena Teslanovich from Russia, actually sold the trick that they created with a bag of crap. We call it the...
I think I bought some of
it. You just might have. Yeah. We call it the Bag of Tricks, but we refer to it as the Bag of Crap. Because it's just crap from the house that we just throw into the bag, as long as we can make 12 bags. So we got 12 of this. What is it? I think it was like a Cheese Whiz can. Let's throw them in there. It's good.
Sean, you're going to be the guest of honor next year, aren't you?
Nope.
Two years?
Steve Bargatze. 2 years. 2014.
Okay. You excited?
Same year as... Oh, yeah. It's a hell of a year for me.
Tell me something about that. I'm going to...
Oh, you're recording. The IBM SAM is holding their FISM North American Combined Competition Championship and Convention in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
And I've been in charge of booking the talent for that, so I'm pretty excited about that. I get to be the 4F guest of honor here, which is just...
Which means you'll probably get a cover on some magazine.
It's unfreaking believable. Oh, and I'm pretty sure I get a cover, because that's the year I'll with any luck, become the president of the International Brotherhood of Magicians.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a really good year.
Nothing else going on.
No, nothing else going on.
They have to give you a cover. I mean,
they're
forced
really?
To, yes.
They're forced to because of that little metal thing and everything. Oh, sweet. How good is that? It'll be a good year. I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah. This next year, I basically retired from lecturing, doing lecture tours or anything like that. I'm only doing...
focusing on what?
Focusing on more performance and corporates. I signed a deal with a couple of really cool producers. A guy who's just taking me around the world is a thing called Johnny Walker in Kuala Lumpur for their Formula One private racing. They have a thing called the Black Circuit Party, which is a top 1,000, you know, the Southeast Asian stars, pop stars, singers, movie stars, and me. I was like the ugliest guy in the room, which is really cool. They have these invitation-only parties, and I go to them and do magic. I signed a contract. I'm working for Disney Cruise Lines now and doing some stuff for them, which is really nice because Disney's a really amazing product, and my family gets to come out and just enjoy. And the shows are really personality-driven rather than me doing a big, you know, like one-hour evening illusion show. It's nice, isn't it?
Right.
Instead of doing a one-hour evening illusion show, I'm doing a 30-minute show for family, a 30-minute show for adults. So it's all just, and I'm working on a whole new lecture called PB&J because the last one was bread and butter.
Yeah, that's right. Good.
So, because I have to do it, I won't do it until 4F because that year I have to, when I become guest of honor in 2014, I have to do a lecture. I have to have all new because I've already done a lecture here.
Right.
So I'll have, by then I'll have already been exposed out my signed card and sealed deck because that will be coming out in the summertime. And I have a new card to wallet and a whole bunch of new stuff.
And of course, you took over Palmer Tilden.
I took over Palmer Magic, and so that's going crazy for me. I can't believe how popular stuff is. You know, I got Michael Mars card on ceiling and Michael Mars coin flip from FISM, Slidini silks. I have two of the original bolts of material from Slidini that he picked out, and the lady that he selected to make the silk, she's actually making the silk.
You know, I was just talking to Bill Wish a couple of weeks ago about this very thing, and he was, you know, I told him that you were handling that, and he was showing the kind of silk that he had when he was with Tony, and said that it was a little bit heavier silk than what the Tony Slidini had used.
It's a little bit thicker.
Yes.
It's a great material, though, because most of the stuff that you have now, it's like slick, and it's like a cheap nylon. It's not the same. I've seen, and it's funny, you know, because I don't know much about it. I've only been learning, but the guys who are experts are just running at me, oh, it's awesome again. And I was like, oh, I'm thrilled to hear that.
Well, I bought two of them.
You bought two of them?
Yeah, different sizes.
And it's great, right? It's got a great feel to it.
Yeah.
I went to see, it's like an Italian parachute silk, but the new stuff is like a nylon, and it's different. And so the stuff we have is the original. It's great.
Yeah.
Tano Nosaka in his shop, he showed me one that Tony actually signed, and I was like, yes.
Wow. And when it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah. Two more bolts. That's a lot of silks. But once it's gone, I'll have to find another
But the important thing that Bill tells me also, apparently, is the lady who's going to be sewing them. And they do have the corner sewn right.
Yeah. It's the right way. Because, you know, Tony Slidini was a tailor. He knew what he was doing.
Right.
And he picked the right lady to make sure. And she still does it. In her 80s. She's in her 80s. And it's funny because she said to me, now, Mr. Tilden only bought, you know, 10 at a time, so he didn't have a lot of stock. And that's what you want to do? I said, no, ma'am, I want you to sew as much as you want to, whenever you want to. Whenever you have a lot, just put them in an envelope and I'll send you a check.
Yeah.
Why? I said, how old are you? You just keep sewing until you're happy. I want to work your heart, but you just keep
sending
sewing.
You money.
Bless her heart.
Yeah.
And she's so nice about it. It's like I said, I'll send you a check in advance. She says, no, you can send it to me afterwards. Make sure you like them. I'm like, oh, bless your heart. Palmer Tilden was a real class act. Everything was
And you knew him personally, or how that worked out?
I got to know Palmer over a number of years when I started buying, you know, the Omni decks, and I'd asked him to change the size and everything, and he liked the size, and he realized that he was selling 10 times more and asked if he could actually rebrand it so his was the exact same size.
Like yours,
we made a great deal on that, and then when he started getting ill, he asked me if I'd be interested in, you know, buying it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I thought he just meant, you know, the Omni deck, but no, he wanted
the whole
company.
Ball of wax, yeah.
And then he gave me a price, and I told him it was ridiculous because it was too low, and I paid him more.
Yeah.
And when he passed away, I sent money for his funeral.
That's
I was
nice.
Like, he's just a cool guy.
Yeah.
He really was.
Yeah.
And he saw something in me that I really, you know, I appreciate that he knew that I cared about the history of it and that I didn't want to screw anybody over. I'm good about it.
Yep.
It's been a real fun experience.
Yeah.
I phoned up Paul Harris and asked him, you know, about the screwed deck that now we're manufacturing, putting back out. He's like, oh, I'm excited to see that. He says, send some my way. And I was like, awesome.
That was a great trick.
Palmer had an eye for it. You know, Bob Koch's telekinetic timber, Slidini stuff, the Michael Lamar stuff, the Paul Harris stuff. Everything he has is like an amazing little thing. We even have the publishing rights for a book, the Sinkable Titanic Thompson.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like, it's just a score on top of score. score on top of score. It's really great.
So it was underpriced, whatever he
quoted me, it was wrong.
Not enough.
And then he said, gave me inventory. Mm-hmm. And I didn't expect inventory, and I had to buy a trailer to fill it.
Oh, goodness sake.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. He was very cool about it. Genuinely nice.
Well, I'm going to let you go. I know we got to run over here then, too. Thank you very much.
It's more showtime.
That's right.
Scott.
That's right.
Great talking to you.
Good to you as well. Sean Farbar. Scott Wells with Magic Word. Scotty out.
Awesome. Thank you.